You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. We hope you're having a great night. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And I have a special treat tonight because I'm not alone here in the studio. My good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard, is joining me. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Thank goodness we're here.
So you feel like you're ready to talk?
Yeah, you know, maybe eventually.
Are you ready to discuss the paranormal and all of its glory?
Slightly. That's what we're here for.
That's right. That's what pays the bills, buddy. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss UFOs and have a, just a general discussion tonight about the phenomenon and about all of the strangeness and weirdness. And, of course, we'll address a lot of the dynamics about it as much as we can. And we'll even touch on some of the hoaxes that are going around and the perpetual need of some people to try to get attention by creating hoaxes and stuff, which is absolutely maddening to me personally. I really don't like it. It really bothers me because I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there really working hard. They're really giving it their blood, sweat, and tears to try to bring public awareness to, you know, what is otherwise an extraordinarily fringe topic, you know, and it's extra frustrating when there's, you know, some clowns with Photoshop that are just like, hey, let's see if they'll believe this.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's right. Like, oh man. But then, you know, on the other hand, you got a bunch of people that are out there getting the boots on the ground. They're getting the equipment. They're spending all of their free time or a lot of their free time, you know, exploring this passion. And I think that's really, really powerful. But, you know, unfortunately, all of those claims are not true. So that's what we're going to get into tonight. And, I think it's an amazing topic and it's an amazing discussion. Now, Don, you've not seen a UFO personally then, right?
Not that I would say is a UFO.
Okay.
Other than, you know, I don't know what it is. The true, you know, the straight,
well, sure,
strictest sense, it's unidentified. I can't identify it myself. So that right. makes it a UFO to me.
Now, when I was on the Sasquatch Chronicles just recently, it was a great pleasure, of course, first of all. I mean, I've been following Sasquatch Chronicles forever. And, I really cut my teeth on Sasquatch Chronicles when I was really getting involved in the paranormal. So it was a real honor and an amazing, amazing opportunity to have a chance to sit on Wes's show and talk with him and stuff. But, he did ask me about my experience and, I have, ladies and gentlemen, seen UFOs. So for me, it's not a question of could they be out there? It's already a foregone conclusion to me that they are. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I'll go into it tonight. What do you think, Don? Should I go into?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this is a story I've told before, but for the sake of this being a part of our podcast and potentially our introduction to a whole lot of new listeners, I'll go through it again. And the story is that it was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know. it's longer than yesterday. That's all.
Are you missing time?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm rather sore. No, I'm just kidding. But it was about 4 years ago, maybe five. But what had happened was I was up in this area, and it's actually in the area that we're in now. And ladies and gentlemen, the Paranormal Portal is headquartered out of the north, the very north of Idaho. Mm-hmm. Literally, you could like throw a rock and hit Canada from here.
Well, you got to throw like, Roger, Clements,
But sure. I mean, it's a bit of a distance, but we're pretty close. So we're like Canada light up here or something.
Canada light.
So anyway, I was up here on a business trip, and this is long before I started doing the portal. And my whole life, I've had an open mind for the idea of there being UFOs. But I have to admit that my whole life, I've always looked to the stars and saw nothing but stars. And so it was always bothersome to me that I'd spent so long looking up at the night sky, but just seeing the night sky, never really seeing anything that to me was anomalous or out of the ordinary. It was just stars and shooting stars every once in a great while. Right. And the occasional northern lights, which were amazing in themselves, but certainly not an extraordinary phenomena in terms of paranormal. But I was up at his the owner of the company that I worked for. He had a cabin up here, and they were transitioning it to become their house. However, at this time, they didn't live in the house, he and his wife and baby. So they lived, probably a half hour away in a rental house while this was being worked on. But I came into town for a business meetings and such, and he said, rather than get you a hotel, how'd you just like to stay up in our house? Because it was pretty much ready to go. They just hadn't moved in yet.
Right.
I was like, I could stay up in the mountains. That's fine with me. It's a beautiful home on one side of a mountain, and then there's a bit of a valley below, not a huge distance to the valley floor where a stream ran through it, and then an opposing mountainside going up in the distance. And I was sitting there, and he had these night vision binoculars. And so I thought, this is really cool. I want to check these out. And so I knew that most of the stars in our sky are actually red stars. And so they're not really visible with the naked eye. And right. I thought, I wonder what the night sky looks like when you look at it through night vision. So I took his night vision binoculars outside on the porch. And being as it's out in the mountains and stuff, there was like no light pollution at all. It's just all natural starlight. It's amazing. The night sky is just brilliant. And so I was out there and I'm looking around, and of course I look up at the sky, and sure enough, there's so many more stars in the sky when you're looking through night vision. It was just like, I couldn't even recognize a constellation. That was how many different stars were suddenly in my field of view. And it was spectacular. So I'm like a kid outside playing with these night vision goggles, because I've never done it before. I've of course heard about them and stuff, but I never had a chance to really, really dork around with them. So I was in my element out there on the porch and in the mountains, all by myself. And the area that this house was, there's no other houses. There's some seasonal cabins near, but it's for all intents and purposes, I was alone up in this mountain range for miles. And it was early spring, like just at the end of winter. So it was getting warm out. I believe that it was early spring. It might have been fall. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The older I get, the harder it is to remember the story.
Sure.
But I remember the details perfectly, but it's just that the semantics of it are like, well, what was it again? But anyway, there was nobody else around, but there was a bit of moonlight out. And being that there was no light pollution, it was just beautiful and it was radiant. And I could see with my naked eyes pretty well anyway. But I'm just playing around, and then I'm looking at the stars, and then I looked at the opposing mountainside. And just, marveling at the fact that I can see all the branches and stuff, even, because I'm using night vision, having a great time. I look on the side that I'm on, look down his driveway, which is a switchback driveway. And, I'm playing around, and I was amazed at how well these night vision goggles work, that I could see everything, even things that I normally couldn't, which, sounds stupid, but honest to God, it was my first experience with it. So it was amazing. And then I panned up on the trees right next to the driveway, and which are big conifer trees like pines or spruce or whatever they are. I don't know my trees real well, but I got to the top of the trees and panned up a little bit further, and about 30 feet above a tree that was about 200 to 300 yards away, 30 feet above that tree was, no kidding, the proverbial flying saucer sitting there hovering, absolutely silent, not a sound coming from it, but it was the literally the two pie plates, and in between the two pie plates were these little panels that looked like they might be windows, except that they were alternately flashing light in a circular pattern on these strange panels. And I'm looking at it and going, oh my God, you know, it's there, Don. It was there. Right. It was right in front of me. And there was no more question. It was like all my life I'd been looking, and then pow, here, how about a nice flying saucer? You know, it was absolutely breathtaking. And I'm stammering. I'm just enamored. I'm beside myself, and I'm staring, and it's just sitting there. And I was like, wow. And so I thought, I got to see this with my own eyes. So I lowered the binoculars and looked in that same spot above the trees, but there's nothing.
It was gone.
It was missing, completely missing. Wow. So I'm like, what in the hell just happened? So I raised the binoculars again. It's there. It's still sitting there. It's still sitting there hovering silently, and the lights flashing around it. I lower the binoculars. It's not there. I raise the binoculars. It's there. And then I lower them and raise them. You know, I kept repeating this because it dawned on me that for some reason it was not observable in my normal native light spectrum of my eyes. So it was like cloaked, but I could see it in the infrared spectrum, and it was there. And then, so I'm watching it and watching it. And I suppose I was watching it for maybe just a few minutes total. And then it dawned on me, I'm alone up here in the mountains all by myself. There's no one even close, you know? And then I thought, I'm about the only thing going on in this mountainside. And if I'm sitting here looking at them, chances are they're up there looking at me.
Right.
So I was like, well, you know, I don't hanker. I need any probing tonight. So, so I decided I was done. I was just going in. I was like, wait a minute. I don't need this to be any more real than it is now. And I went inside, locked the doors, and sat on the bed for hours, just my head reeling. And it was just amazing. So I've seen it, Don. And it's absolutely incredible.
You know, we hear all kinds of stories, and you know, I've heard the, you know, it was not visible by the naked eye, references and things like that. Uh-huh. You know, so it doesn't surprise me that it took something beyond your physical, you know, your obviously physical, you know, mechanics
limitations. Yeah.
Limitations, exactly.
Yep.
And so, it's always fun to hear this story because, you know, like I said, I don't ever think I would call something a UFO that would be considered a spaceship or, you know, whatever that may be, something alien, let's say that, as mm-hmm. opposed to terrestrial, because like I said before, I just don't think there's nothing that I would classify as alien about a UFO that I've seen, right. Just the strictest sense. But, you know, it's really cool to hear that story because you're the only person I know that I've ever met that physically met yeah. and shook hands with and talked to and that's ever really seen one or mm-hmm. claimed to have seen one, you know, and it's a great story. I mean, it's a believable story.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, until it's like I'm from Missouri, the show me state, you know, you got to show me, give me the proof, you know,
right.
But unfortunately it's just one of those things. Now I wonder, and you've done this before, you know, if you would have had a camera going through that night vision, you know, right. would it have come out on the video? And so I know you've experimented with that before.
Yes.
It had a kind of an incredible result, I'll have to say. Mm-hmm. But it's like the, you know, if it's very believable in the sense that obviously extraterrestrials are going to have better technology than we do. We can, you know, barely go, you know, 4 feet out the door without forgetting what we're doing, you know, but, you know, our technology, yeah, it gets us around, you know, places, you know, the satellites, gosh, the Voyager satellites, you know, they're out beyond the stars now in our universe.
Oh, sure. The probes. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we get out there, but we physically don't get out there.
Right.
We just can't handle it yet. So, you know, I mean, it would take a real leap of evolution for us to get out there.
Right. No, I think that's very true. So, but, you know, the thing about this experience was that the fact that I couldn't see it with my own eyes right. was the clincher yeah. for me. Now,
sure.
if I had seen it and then lowered the binoculars and seen it with my normal vision, I would think, okay, is this is this one of ours?
Right,
you know, is
right.
this something that, that our engineers are working on? Right. That would have been within the realm of my possibilities at that point.
Terrestrial possibilities.
Right, exactly. Right. Like I could look at it and go, right. hey, whoa, what are we working on now? What are we capable of?
Right.
But the fact that it wasn't visible through my normal eyesight, but only was in the infrared, was like, wait a minute, this is right. way out of our league.
You know, and that was something I was thinking about when you were retelling it just now, is that, you know, that's another thing is, you know, if it was visible, like you said, but with a naked eye, you know, you it would really bring home the terrestrial aspect of it's mm-hmm. from here.
Or it could be.
Well, it could be. Well, because, yeah. you know, not all aliens, I imagine, have the same level of technology. So maybe these ones, if you could see it by the eye, maybe they just didn't figure out cloaking yet.
Right.
Or,
right.
you know, they missed it because our vision, you know, our spectrum of vision is greater than what they anticipated, and they weren't as cloaked as they thought they were.
Sure.
So, you know, one of those things. But if I would have said if you saw it by your naked eye, then I would have definitely questioned the terrestrial, right. you know.
Versus extraterrestrial.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, the thing is that, you know, of course, there's a consideration that it could be terrestrial. It's just, you know, you look into the hollow earth ideas and stuff that
right.
there's some civilization, super advanced right. civilization right inside of our very planet. And, you know, I don't know what to think about that. I think, you know, it's possible. I don't. The one thing with the paranormal is that you can't, you know, say that something's impossible.
Right.
Because we hear all these fantastic ideas and thoughts and claims and, you know, and people. We've talked to so many people that have experienced so many things.
Right.
And I, you know, even though the claim, it may be really hard to believe, when you talk to the people, it's like, well, okay, but I believe this person.
Right, right.
You know, so that's the difference. But, you know, seeing that was really incredible for me. And, of course, like I said, it really brought it home. It was no longer just possible. It was a fact.
Yeah, it was a fact to you. Yeah.
yeah.
It was solidified.
And that was really, really awesome. And so I don't know, you know, it's like, maybe after a lifetime of looking, I don't know what they can tell and what they can't. How advanced is their civilization
right.
that they can listen to what, you know, what our dreams are and just decide, hey, scary. It's your lucky day.
Hey, you're getting a special dream.
hey, Glib 4, let's drive over here.
Glib 4.
Know, whatever the names might be.
Awesome.
I don't know what alien names are, but, you know.
About Hamas.
Exactly. You just don't know. But, you know, they might be like, hey, that dude over there wants to see us. What do you think? Let's go,
you know, go talk to this guy.
Let's go make his day. Hey, you know, you never know. But
have a crazy time probing.
There's none of that going on that night, Don. Let me tell you. That was a probe-free zone up in there.
I understand.
You know, but I wasn't having any part of that. But, you know, it was just really amazing. So that was a clincher for me. Now, since then, after that experience, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I got home after my journey, and I went right on Amazon and I found those very binoculars and ordered them. Even though it wasn't the most fiscally responsible thing I'd done, what occurred to me is that maybe they're always there. Maybe they're always around. This isn't probably that fantastic because they can just hide.
Right.
You know, because who's running around all the time with night vision on? You know?
The military.
Well, yeah.
But they've got to see them too.
There they are. They're already in on this, Don. Yeah,
probably. I think so.
We all know that. They are already plugged into this whole deal. So, you know, and whether that's true or not, I don't know. It very well could be because we've certainly heard those claims as well. But I got them. And as I've been looking at the night sky over the years, and what I did, ladies and gentlemen, is I rigged up a GoPro knockoff to, you know, sit on one of the eyepieces of the binoculars. And then I look through the other one and scan the sky. And I've actually caught a few things on video, one of which I shared with the Sasquatch Chronicles page.
Right, right.
Well, you know, Wes let me posted it up there when I talked to him about it. He's like, yeah, let me see it and we can post it on the page. And I was like, yeah. So it's been checked out and by a lot of different viewers. Now, this one that I did record is nowhere near as fantastic as
right,
what my first
right.
sighting. But the thing is just that these things could always be out there. They could always be checking on us, you know, and then you hear the ideas that, you know, are we in some kind of extraterrestrial zoo, you know, and basically these are tour groups just coming through going,
tour groups.
And off and to the left, you're going to see a mountain human. Look at him on the porch staring up here. He can't see us, ladies and gentlemen. We are cloaked.
That's when you wave at him. How you doing?
don't feed the humans.
Don't feed the humans. Don't humor them.
Yeah, you never know. But, I mean, it's just that kind of deal. So is that possible? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, anything is possible. But it was just an incredible thing. Now, a lot of people like to think that this is a new phenomenon, or and the naysayers like to say, well, you know, this is all just a bleed off of popular culture, and it comes from the 50s and the B movies and stuff. And and Don, you did a bunch of research on this, and how far back did your research go into reports of UFOs?
Well, you know, the most famous one, I guess, was from about 1845, 1850, 1855, somewhere in there, maybe 60, 65, into the, just before, around the Civil War, before, okay. I believe. It may have been just after, but right in there. But it was like somewhere in Texas. I can't remember the name of the city in Texas, but or the town in Texas. But basically, there was a story that said, you know, an airship, because they didn't have the words UFO back there, or the term UFO, but an airship, it crashed into, like, you know, Farmer Miller's barn, you know, and a lot of, there's a movie called Cowboys and Aliens. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of set based on that story as possible, big, you know, as well as possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's only so much you can do. But anyhow, it's mostly fantastical, the movie. But it was based on that idea that an airship had crashed into Miller's barn, you know, 3 miles out, you know, from town.
Sure.
So back then. But then also, you know, you can go back to, you know, Elizabethan times, you know, 1700s, 1600s. Even all the way back into the Bible, mm-hmm. you know, so, I mean, you know, there are the pictures that were painted with, you know, different odd things, the wheel in the sky, mm-hmm. You know, the, even the Eastern Star could have been theoretically a spaceship.
And then the Sumerian.
Yeah, all the way back to Sumerians, yeah, you know. But, of course, when you're talking Sumerians and you're talking aliens, you're talking about, like, 8 different kings over a time of 150,000 years. So, you know, but then again, you know, the Sumerians have been, you know, connected to aliens in some way, mm-hmm. because there is just no real way to tell. I mean, Sumeria, the Sumerian culture gave us, you know, cuneiform, which is writing, you know, and, mm-hmm. and could this have been the progenesis to, you know, actual, you know, writing of history. So, you know, you can go back as far as you want, you know, because there's connections left and right. Even after the deluge, now this could be, you know, 12 to 15,000 years ago, mm-hmm. according to different people, or it could even be back farther, depending on how you look. If you look at the Bible, it may have been only 2 centuries ago, you know, whatever. Sure. Actually, it'd be more like 3, but you know, even the Hopi have their alien stories or their, mm-hmm. their not human stories that, you know, they were taken underground to survive the deluge or, you know, the great, whatever their term for it was, the great happening, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, there you go. I mean, you know, they were taken underground by the Ant people. And then after a measure of days, they were brought back up. And, you know, and if you look at the deluge in the Bible, it was 40 days and 40 nights. So, you know, that's a lot of water to go away in 40 days, you know. Apparently it only went away at night. But I mean, you know, they go back time immemorial, mm-hmm. you know. So there's a lot of alien extraterrestrial UFO stuff all the way back. So yeah, it's there. It's part of our culture. And I don't mean like pulp culture. I mean, it's part of our culture.
Right.
It just is.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, that's to me, that's validating for the whole phenomenon as well. Even if I hadn't witnessed it myself, the fact that there's such a recorded history of it.
Right.
You know, and that it's been a part of cultures around the world, even back to Egypt and further back.
Right.
Even the hieroglyphs, there's some really strange ones. Yeah. There's a carving in, I don't know if it's Peru or where is it, but it shows like astronaut.
Oh, you know. Yeah. You know, now here's where I'll deviate from that, because, okay. you know, there have been so much remodeling work on the outside of these old places. And, you know, it's not unheard of that a stonemason or someone who has a sense of humor you know, added something like that, you know, like the astronaut. And there was another one. Oh, there's just a whole bunch of them off the top of my head. I can't remember. But the astronaut's the most famous one. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me at all that something happened during a storm and whatever was originally there was damaged. And they sent somebody up to repair it or whatever. And the guy just went, ha, 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 watch this. And, you know, it has to be modern. I mean, it has to be after 40s, 50s, 60s.
But what if it's not?
Well, see, now there's no way to tell. There would be a lot of research to do behind it, but you could tell. I mean, it certainly wasn't done by somebody, you know, in the turn of the century, because we had no conceivable idea what things would
look like. But that's what makes it fantastic.
So, well, that's
impossible.
If it was true. Yes.
If it's true, right. Yes. I can't say for sure. I mean, I'm only going on the references that I have run across.
True enough.
And I haven't heard any speculation that it was a modern refabrication. Right.
But
I haven't. You have?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. You know, and then and that's the thing.
But it's only one possibility. Right. I mean, it may or may not be true. There's a whole lot of research that I would, you know, I'd be glad to do sometime. But, you know, right now it's time concerning, time limited.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, but you know, I mean, oh, and then the aliens. Did you see like the hybrids, from the movies? What are they called? Why do I keep forgetting these things? From the alien movies, the aliens in the alien movies, the ones that eat everything with the little
the chest bursters.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Now, there's also an account of one of those being crafted onto the side of a church or a castle or something
right?
But then again, you know, H.R. Geiger, you know, style thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's just, and there's a history of remodelers and stonemasons that have done this. I mean, okay. even back into old times when there's one German cathedral that has a guy supposedly, you know, committing sexual acts on himself.
Oh, geez.
So, but, and that's original, but mm-hmm. it originally happened with the guy who thought it was funny. So he did it. Or at least that's what I'm understanding.
So this is our discussion up to this point, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for more of the Paranormal Portal and our journey into the whole concept of UFOs, including some potential hoaxes. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back here at the Paranormal Portal Podcast Studios, and we are excited to bring you another section of fun-filled entertainment that only we can bring you here on the portal. And so buckle in and make yourself comfortable, because it's going to be a ride.
Get in, sit out, and shut up.
So, you know, we've all heard about things like Roswell and of course, the Roswell crash. I think is incredibly poignant, and something happened there that doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, of course, everybody knows the original release from a major or something was, hey, we mm-hmm. found a UFO. We found a flying saucer. And it was, you know, amazingly huge news. It was published all over the place, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And, of course, a day or two later, or maybe a day.
It was like 24 hours.
24 hours later, yeah. Then it's, no, it wasn't a UFO.
That's not what it was.
So crazy. They claim it was a weather balloon, and right. they had the guy posing with pictures of the foil.
Jesse Marsalis.
All right. Way to pull out the fact. That's good. You know, I mean, it whoever it was. But the interesting thing about that, Don, is, so they claim it was just a weather balloon. Mm-hmm. However, they still deployed like a regimen of military to go recover a weather balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Does that even make sense at all?
No. But here's the thing. Think about it this way, though. I mean, the original, so here's a couple ideas. First of all, is a weather balloon going to cut gouges into your field for a half mile to a mile and then skip and then do, you know, another 500 yards? Right. No, right. That's not going to do anything like that. There's no weight to a weather balloon. That's why they float. So, you know, I mean, so, you know, you've got that. And then, you know, but with the idea, you know, some farmer, you know, Farmer Jones calls up and says, yeah, I think there's a UFO down in my, you know, back 40, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what would they have to do? They would have to send out a whole regiment because they don't know what it is. So they have no clue. But then after the regiment's there, they start picking up pieces. They say, oh, this is a weather balloon. But Jesse Marsalis has already said, you know.
He's already let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, he's already twisted up the metal and watched it reform itself. And,
yeah.
And you know, and so, you know, really, really strange. So there's a couple ideas, you know. But, yes, I think they would have to send out some kind of battalion, you know, company to go check it out to make sure, you know, if it's safe. So, I mean.
Well, if it's just a weather balloon, I don't know
why. But the farmer didn't say it was a weather balloon.
No, I know. That's the
so
point.
That's the thing. They sent him out and they went, oh, okay.
Yeah, so now let's cut to the chase. Do you believe it was a weather balloon?
I don't believe it was a weather balloon.
Okay.
Maybe for that time, a high-tech piece of military hardware, rocketry, whatever that might be. You know, that was after World War II, so we had Operation Paperclip going. So we had
Werner von Braun.
Yeah, exactly. So we had all these rocket experts and things like that. So, and plus we're talking about New Mexico. What's in New Mexico? White sands.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Think about that.
That's the testing grounds, of course, for a lot of different vehicles and such. And perhaps one of their rocket cars got loose.
You know, that's what I'm saying is it could have been, you know, one of those.
That's a good
But I'm not going to say it wasn't a UFO. It was a UFO in the strictest sense of unidentified flying object.
But Jesse Marsalis had metal that he folded and repaired itself.
A few people had that. Yeah. So
now that is curious, isn't it?
It is very curious.
Something happened there. But, you know, of course, it's a common theme. Every time something happens, there's some kind of really stupid, mundane explanation for it on the official releases. Now, everybody's aware of the concept of the reverse engineering and the, you know, the accelerated black projects that are, you know, dealing with this kind of stuff. And of course, the eventual arrival of Area 51.
Right.
And that whole cloak and dagger deal. So, Men in Black, you know, the list goes on and on.
Right.
The X-Files eventually.
Right.
Which brought us all into
Project Blue Book back in the 70s.
Sure.
You know, that TV show, I should say. But that's, you know, Majestic 12.
Yes. Now, what am I going to say about this? Yeah, I think that the part that's really tough for me in these kind of situations is the amount of condescension that comes with some of those explanations. It's like, wow, you know, they must have such a low opinion of the intelligence of the people in this country because of the garbage that they try to use to explain it away.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to see here, folks. What we have here is an ice cream truck that just freezer exploded, and you see that is not nuclear radiation. That is sherbet.
Sure enough, it's lemon lime.
All right, come on, kids, grab a cone. Let's go. Clean it up.
Don't worry, it's not going to hurt you.
Right, yeah, don't mind the glow.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's just this strangeness, right?
Right, yeah.
So, I think for many of us, it's a foregone conclusion. As I already stated, for me, obviously, but you've been researching this for a long time, and of course, your first appearance on the show was the Eisenhower Accords when you discussed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really amazing and a lot of great information. And it might now that the Eisenhower Accords, of course, would be after.
Right. It was. So Roswell was 47, late spring, early summer. 47. Then the Eisenhower story begins in about 53, so February of 53.
So a lot seems to have happened in a very short order of time all of a sudden, as far as the alleged cooperation of our government and perhaps governments around the world with certain alien species. And of course, the rabbit hole gets incredibly deep on all of these subjects, and we can't obviously crack through and with any complexity on one small podcast here, but you know, these are things that we're definitely going to be exploring on the portal as part of our coverage of the UFO phenomena. And I think that, you know, the wildness is just, I mean, it's insane.
Yes.
You know, and the abductees is a whole nother thing where people are, you know, taken and experimented on, and
yeah,
you
Barney
know
and Betty Hill, yeah.
But
Travis Walton, yeah.
Travis Walton, Barney and Betty Hill. And you know, is Barney and Betty Hill basically the first?
It's the first one that came out publicly or at least, you know, got so much attention. Mm-hmm. Yes. So they're like the progenitors of all of that particular abduction stories kind of thing.
And I think that that's the first instance of using hypnosis as a form of recovering lost time.
Yes.
So that would be the introduction of that aspect.
Right. Into, the regression therapy kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Into the research of potential abductions and all of that. And I think that that's fascinating. And I don't know quite what to think about that, Don, because you know, at that point, how do you separate a reality from subconscious idealization? You know, and so many other psychological factors when you're dealing with the hypnosis. And of course, I'm not a hypnotist, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that that has to be part of the equation, at least, is that some of that is addressed, and perhaps the people that do the regressions and stuff are very careful about that. And we'll have to get somebody on the show, Don, that deals with that kind of stuff. And,
yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, because I'd like to understand that formula quite a bit better, because it is fascinating that people, first of all, it's fascinating that there is lost time at all, you know, that people just find themselves. In fact, a friend of both of us know, he was on the show a long time ago, and he was talking about how he was on a road trip going to, he was going to be driving by Area 51. And he was really excited about driving by there. And he said the next thing he knew, he was 3 hours
past it. Yeah.
And became aware that he was resting in his car at a rest stop, 3 hours driving past Area 51.
Right.
So what the hell's going on there, right? And this is somebody we know. So this isn't just
somebody we talk to face to face.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just a random claim out there of somebody. So this is a person that I believe has integrity and has, you know, a sense of decency. And I can't imagine him fabricating this just for the sake of having something to talk about. But what a fascinating thing.
Well,
and what happened?
He did own a picture of Pogo the Clown.
That's true. He's ladies and gentlemen, the person we're talking about, of course, is a great friend of ours. And his name is Josh, and he collects all kinds of odd and strange things.
Paraphernalia.
Right. I mean, he has some of the coolest things ever. And in fact, we'll have to figure out a way to get him back on the show, too, because, you know, it's just, I believe he's actually going to go into that business more completely, which is fascinating as well. But, you know, with lost time, missing time, abductions, crop circles comes up next in my mind. You know, and this one is interesting to me. Now, do I believe that they're all legitimate? No. Yeah. Do I believe that there are some that are legitimate? Yeah, I think there probably are. But there we get into the hoaxing, Don.
Right.
So we start hitting the hoax barrier.
Right.
How do you know which ones are real and which ones aren't?
Well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, debate about that, you know, because who was it? There's like Dave and Bill. You know, I can't remember.
Oh, the two guys.
Yeah, the two guys that went out and
with a plank and some rope and
plank and rope
stomped
and maybe
out circles.
Stomped down. You know, but here's the thing about that. When you're talking about crop circles and things like that, you know, you can you supposedly, I've never investigated crop circles myself, but what I understand is if you go out there with planks and ropes and you apply pressure to these, you can bend them over, but you'll break the stalks. Now, The real difference is a lot of that, you know, that's just the first blush, you know, look at it. But when you actually look at it, you notice that when they're supposedly legitimate crop circles, mm-hmm. they're not actually brooks. The stalks are actually, you know, formed, you know, reformed into that shape.
Right.
So they're not snapped. They're the things like that. However, there are also obviously if you take a Geiger counter out there, if it's faked, it's not going to have, you know, that level of radiation. It'll just have
the background radiation.
Right, exactly. You know, just the not the you know, but supposedly with these real crop circles, mm-hmm. you know, you get a solid radiation. You get like, you know, 4 or 5 rods, whatever. And also the stalks, now there are nodes, there are moisture nodes in grass and corn, you know, in these stalks.
Sure.
Well, when you apply radiation to moisture, what does it do? It blows up. It warms up and then blows out the node. So it's, but it's, so a real crop circle, air quotes, has no broken stalks. However, they have popped nodes. They have cooked nodes in the stalks. So, you know, those are the big ones right off the top. You know, yeah, you can go out there with a board, but you're going to break the stalks and the grass. You're going to actually break it as opposed to that other. And then there also, there's been volcanic glass beads found.
Oh.
That are only, you know, that are only attributed to, you know, high temperatures. You know, you're talking like volcanic ash. It creates like little glass pebbles because the dirt or the silica in the, and it's like when a volcano blows up, it mm-hmm. spits out all these little, I can't remember, spheres, these glass spheres.
Okay.
So you find those in supposed quote unquote legitimate crop circles as well, because it points to the, you know, the chemical, you know, happenings of the silica in the dirt.
So is it, now this is curious, because how then does the actual plant matter not burn up if there's that much, well,
there's that
heat
too, yeah.
generated? Well, that's a curiosity though, isn't
you know,
it?
But that's, you know, that might be the difference between a clean radiation and a dirty radiation. Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, people, it is claimed that nuclear energy is clean energy.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have Fukushima, we have Chernobyl, we have Long Island.
Sure.
You know, it's not clean.
Three Mile Island.
Three mean? Mile Island, yes, I'm sorry.
I think Long Island is okay still.
I think so. But yeah, Three Mile Island, yeah. Sure. So, you know, it's not clean. It's by nowhere clean. As a matter of fact, the other day I was talking about the Red River in Russia. The Red River is red because they've dumped, you know, heavy water in there.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, it's not clean by any means. Right. Not clean. But maybe this is, maybe the extraterrestrials, the advanced intelligences have figured out how to make it stable,
right.
And clean, yeah. And clean. So, you know, maybe that's part of the cleanness. It's not burning the crops.
Sure. So it maybe what I think you're trying to say, and correct me if I'm wrong though, is that maybe the energy that's being expended is not behaving in a
typical
sense.
It's not
what
we know as nuclear.
Right.
Power.
So it's interacting completely with certain elements, but it's not a widespread interaction.
Right. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. That, you know, that stands to reason and that makes sense to me. But, of course, getting back into the hoaxes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The whole flying saucers and, the advent,
you gotta love those.
The advent of everyone having a camera.
Right.
And so everybody with a homemade Frisbee was out there seeing UFOs.
Right. Yeah. Oh no, you can't see that fishing line holding up that pie plate.
No, a lot of times you couldn't because they were
far enough back that you couldn't see it.
And of course the camera length, the focal lengths were usually off and and so everything that, you know, unless they had a really pristine focus, you wouldn't see it. But yeah, you know, and what is the motivation behind that?
Notoriety. You know,
I suppose it is. I suppose it's just the, hey, look what I did, and right. look at how many people I fooled.
Right.
So it becomes a game of, I don't know, of achievement.
Fool your neighbor.
Right. And I suppose, you know, when you look at cybersecurity, it's like one of the big things in the hacker community, of course, is to release a worm or something and
right.
see how much how many systems you can bring down. And right. it's like everybody's counting coup on those things. Right. It's like, well, I brought down 15 servers in four countries.
The IRS.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So is it could be the same kind of mentality right. with hoaxers. But
you know, that's a very good parallel. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good one.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, you know, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I think that these pursuits may seem way out there for some people. Like,
right.
Well, you're just wasting your time talking about UFOs and ghosts and Bigfoots and stuff. And
there ain't no such thing.
Yeah, I mean, and now here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think that goes on with those people that, you know, they love a good hoax because then it makes believers look cheesy. You know, right. It makes you look like, well, you have no active gray matter in your head. You're just latching on to any idea that comes right. along. But I think part of that is, honest to God, I think people are so desperate to hang on to their paradigm that, you know, when things like this happen, when there is UFO sightings, when there are ghost experiences or Bigfoot and stuff, it challenges everything. It challenges the very nature of reality. And so these people are so desperate to hang on to that, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's a ploy we see commonly. It's either hoax and make a fool out of them or make jokes out of the whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's like in politics, somebody says something profound. Well, you know, in 10 minutes, you just check Twitter and you'll see 5,000 memes
right.
making them look stupid, you yeah. know, and it seems to be the way people defend a paradigm. And so I think that's the point. But, you know, the paranormal certainly challenges everything right. when it happens. It challenges everything. Suddenly, there isn't just three dimensions, you know, and obviously right. we know there's more, but it's not just a matter of perception. It's the matter that reality is dynamic and fluid and it's not safe. You know, right. people find safety in their paradigms, right. in what they
security,
know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they're comfortable there. And the last thing they want to do is lose that, because when they lose that, they have to reexamine everything.
Right.
And yeah.
It's like losing your innocence, you know, right. when you grow up and, you know, somebody tells you something that you've believed all your life is not true, you know, and that's exactly it.
Yes. Now here's in case in point, here's something that came out. It says, and this article is coming from a site called singularfordian.com, and it says photos of Australian UFO crash taken from set of sci-fi show Hunters. So, and this is something that's been going around. And in fact, I think this came across my feed and perhaps yours as well, Don.
Oh, yeah.
So it says photos sent to the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, as proof of an extraterrestrial craft having crashed in the Macedon ranges of Australia have been found to actually be prop pieces from the set of a sci-fi channel television show called Hunters, which is filmed in Australia. The photographs were attached to MUFON case 99500. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go to MUFON.com or org and check out their cases.
If they haven't changed it yet.
If they haven't changed it yet, but it's case 99500. And accompanied by the following description of events. So the person claims, I was talking to my son's friend and saying that I had in the past seen things that made me believe UFOs exist. Mm-hmm. One of them sent me those pictures of their friends who were out on motorbikes in the Macedon ranges when they came upon a crashed UFO. They took some pictures that I am sending to you. They called some friends and told them they would come and pick them up to show them the object. When they returned a few hours later, the site had been cleaned and there was no remains of the object. There was some police barrier tape, but everything else was gone. They did take some pictures with their phones before and after. And of course, being a podcast, I can't show you this, but if you look it up, it's the whole.
It just looks like two jokers standing in front of a set.
He's holding up a beer.
Like I said,
it's got a beer. One of the guys is holding up a beer, like, hey. So, in addition to the photo featured above, two more images were provided by the sender. So this was big news, and there's even a carved out trench to show the track of the crashing craft. Through the forest, I never thought much of this when I first saw it. I certainly wasn't convinced. I don't know.
We're just out partying and drinking beer one night. We just happen across the UFO crash.
You know, but the sad part is, and I don't know if this is true, and then they got a Texas UFOs. Do these photos show a craft UFO in Australia? And then, of course, there's the two guys standing by the craft. One of them in the background in an orange and black shirt hoisting a green beer. It's a green beer can. So it's pretty funny. And, you know, it is kind of tongue in cheek. Maybe these guys actually thought they found a crashed UFO. Maybe they had no idea that there was a filming set in that area. But right. Wow. So is this an intentional hoax, or is it just one of those things of just simple misidentification? Sure.
Oh, no, that's an interesting
question. I never saw this one, but this is the craft is from season 1, episode 6 of Hunters, titled Bunker Soldier. Huh. So if you're familiar with the show Hunters, then you might understand what they're talking about. But yeah, it looks like a hell of a prop, really. I mean, it's huge. Yeah,
well, you notice that the trees aren't broken off. And
well, sure. I mean, it's just a natural lane of trees here. It looks exactly. like maybe a reforestation ages ago, but
yeah, there's nothing falling down.
No.
Now that's definitely a stage, a set.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know what? I bet you those guys just thought, "Oh, I bet you they knew."
You think
but
so?
I bet you they thought, "Oh, we're going to prank our friends and post these pictures, you
That
know?
Could be, yeah.
I mean, that's what I
And
I'm
then
thinking.
Their friend just went and made a movie report.
Yeah, went nuts. Hey, my buddy's found this you know, because you know, if you would have, and it looks like, you know, a personal spacecraft, you know, mm-hmm. it's like a one person, you know, airplane, you know, well, an extraterrestrial type airplane.
Craft.
But, you know, how would they not have like tried to break the bubble on top? Cause it's class, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I don't know. I would have been trying to drive the thing myself.
Yeah, no doubt. I'd have been,
hey, let's take it for a spin.
Hey, let's pull that Eggers suit out of there and jump in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very, very wild though. But you know, in this case, it may very well have been an inadvertent kind of hoax.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently the show's not as popular as the TV channel would hope, because it went pretty far before it ever got flagged.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been around for well over a week now or two.
Oh, it's been a few weeks, yeah.
And this article was written April 5th.
Right.
So just last week, or just the week and a half ago, I guess.
Right.
So I don't know how long this has been around, but it just came across my desk not too long ago. I saw it and I was like, honest to God, I was pretty unconvinced. I was pretty pretty indifferent about it, because I don't know.
Right.
You know, to me, it just looked like, obviously it's a weird kind of creation, but it didn't have, you know, convincing qualities to me, I guess.
Well, you know, you add a couple layers of filters on top of that.
Right.
You know, and sci-fi.
And lighting effects and stuff. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it had some weird lighting going on, yeah, then maybe it would be more convincing.
I bet you could do something like that in Blender.
Oh, yeah. no question about it.
There you go.
But that is actually there, but unfortunately it's not real. So, you know, that's the problem with the paranormal, with paranormal pursuits, is that not only are you against... you're pushing against people's paradigms, right. And getting that piece of evidence that's going to maybe change some people's minds or at least validate your case. But you're also competing against all these idiots out there, right. That are, you know, either inadvertently creating hoaxes or very intentionally creating hoaxes, right. Just to see how far it'll go. And that's the problem. I mean, so, you know, no other pursuit probably has as much going against it as a paranormal enthusiast.
Well, you know, and like I've always said, you know, we are, and I include myself as the skeptic side of it, you know, but there's things that I'll wiggle on, you know, here and there, but we are our own detractors. You know, you've got, you know, people who, you know, come out and say, this is real. And I'm convinced. And this is why. And then you have people that come out and they do this. You know, we are our own worst enemies, you know, people that hoax things purposefully and then pass it off as real to make us look even more nutcasey. You know, I don't know.
We're awful nutcasey in here.
That's true. This is the portal.
It is the portal, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly everything and anything can happen during the portal. But I think that's going to about wrap it up for tonight. I hope you guys have enjoyed this little journey through the topic of UFOs. Obviously, the Paranormal Portal is going to be going into a lot more of these in depth with guests and specific discussions, but we're just kind of setting the table right now. We're just kind of setting the tone. This is our journey. And of course, we're talking about UFOs. We're going to be broadcasting or releasing podcasts 3 times a week. And so I hope you guys are looking for them. Generally, they'll be released Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And wherever you get your podcasts from, look for the portal, because hopefully we'll be there waiting for you.
Well, we expect to be waiting there for you to see us. Yes,
that's what hear I mean. Us. We'll be
there. Just look for us.
Look for us. We'll be watching for you.
There you go.
We'll turn on the lights. Just
lock the door on your way through.
Yeah. Pick up after yourself. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Clean out.
But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the episode for tonight. I hope you guys have enjoyed it, and thank you so much for checking us out. And if you want to get in touch with us, or you have a paranormal experience of your own, please let us know via email at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. And please check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/paranormalportal. And you can see Don and I doing the magic that it is that we do in all of our streaming glory. So. And all of the problems that come with live Absolutely. Broadcasting as well as, you know, podcasting. So we are going to be here for you. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And take care. Have a wonderful night. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day. And remember to laugh as much as you can.
There you go.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.